morning, I was talking with you last time about soundness and the issue of having some soundness in your life. And it's an interesting thing. I've noticed over the years, but here more recently, even within ourselves, where we begin to kind of talk about things and try to look at things and move forward on some truth and advance, if you will, in some areas. And when you talk about soundness, you're talking about something that's not sound as in you hear my voice or you listen to the radio and the wife says turn the sound down or turn the sound up. We're talking about something that's concrete, something that's real, something that is permanent. And it's very important to have that in your life, and especially the issue of sound doctrine. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 10 and 11 tell us and define for us what sound doctrine is. And the end of verse number 10 says, "And if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God which was committed to my trust." And we looked last time at there is a difference between Bible doctrine and sound doctrine. And in order to have soundness in your life, and in order to have a life of stability, you have to have that your life based on sound doctrine. Sound doctrine is defined for us in verse 11, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my, and that's Paul's, trust. So sound doctrine in Scripture, when we come to you and I into the pages written for you and I today in the age of grace, sound doctrine is the information that's been given to the Apostle Paul, committed to his trust. Now, the reason I say it that way is because Peter will later in 1 and 2 Peter talk about sound doctrine, which would be to who? To them, to Peter and the little flock and the believing remnant. So when you come, see, folks, when you come to understand the word rightly divide, it changes everything. You know, a comment was made to me one time about how does right division relate to marriage? It does it on every level. Okay, it doesn't just say who you can marry or who you cannot marry, but it impacts everything because right division begins to teach you about a relationship. And when you understand that relationship that we have with Christ and how in Ephesians 5, talking about marriage, he says, I'm talking about marriage, but I'm really talking about Christ and the church. And if you want to see that, so right division begins to hit everything. Sound doctrine begins to hit everything. You're in 1 Timothy. Look over at chapter 6. We're talking about this a little bit this morning in the first hour, dealing with 2 Timothy. 1 Timothy 6, if you look at verse 3, if any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, so they're going to teach otherwise, teach something other than what Paul's been teaching, and consent not to the wholesome words that the Lord gave to the Apostle Paul. That's not Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in that verse. It's the information given to the Apostle Paul. Now watch how that verse ends. And to the doctrine which is according to godliness. You know, if you want to have a life, or if you want your family to have a life that's on solid ground, you got to get them into the sound doctrine. You got to get them into the doctrine that is according to godliness. It's always amazing to me. People come and say, Rick, fix this. We need you to fix this, Rick. And I'm like, well, fix it yourself, man. Here's how you do it. Here's the situation, you know. My favorite verse in my ministry verse is, I'm a helper of your joy. Look, I'm going to help you how to fix it for yourself. Paul, you're in 1 Timothy. Look, I mean, you know, I'm on my stand right now. I apologize. Look over at 2 Timothy 2. And I understand the sentiment. Don't get me wrong. I really do. And I'm willing to help and point and to counsel and teach or whatever. That's not my point. My point is, look at 2 Timothy 2. Look at verse 26. And that they may recover themselves. Look back up at verse 15. Study to show thyself. See, to me, for me as pastor, as teacher, as leader, The issue is for me to get the information in front of you and you make the decisions for yourself. See? If you're making the decisions for yourself, then who's responsible for that decision? You are, which is God is a God of responsibility and accountability. You're going to stand one day and give an account. You make that decision. My job's to keep it in front of you on a 24-hour, 7 days a week basis. Okay? Your job is to, that verse over in 1 Thessalonians 2. Now, I'm off notes big time, but it's about soundness and sound doctrine. 1 Timothy 2, verse 13. People say, yeah, but Rick, you got to make the word relevant. I don't have to make the word nothing. The word itself is relevant. See? The reason it's not relevant in your life or in others' lives is because they're not in 1 Thessalonians 2:13 mindset. Look at 2:13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. What's that verse say? Does that verse not say that the word of God will work? If you do what with it? If you see that? Where does that fall? Whose lap does that fall into? Follow that? See that? So when you come into the issue of soundness, and we're talking about sound doctrine, it's important to understand that the sound doctrine is coming from the Apostle Paul. As you have been taught, as you learn, as you grow, and as you make decisions to live life based on that sound doctrine. And in the local assembly environment, you've got leadership, you've got roles that keep that in front of you and that keep that as a mainstay. I had a dear lady one time tell me, Rick, you go over the same stuff all the time. I said, well, if your hard head would hear it the first time, get it and do it, and live by it, then we could go on to something else. And then I smiled. You know? Because it was, I was being honest with her, but I wasn't trying to be mean to her. So when you come to the issue of sound doctrine and understanding where it comes from, which it comes from, it's according to the doctrine committed to Paul's trust, then the next step is Titus 1. Come over to Titus 1. And that is that it's also then important to understand the importance of not departing from the sound doctrine that we received from God through Paul. Titus 1, verse 13. Now we're jumping right into this section here. And by the way, when we get into Titus and study Titus, there's some things in Titus that we think it's one way and in actuality it's completely the other. Talking about mind-blowing. Oh, wait a minute, you know. And when we go down through it, we'll have a good time. But look at verse 13. This witness is true. Wherefore rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth. Notice verse 13 carefully. In order for someone to be sound in the faith, there may come time when you have to do what with them? Rebuke them sharply. Isn't that interesting? Now, he's just got done describing to Titus about what the elders are to look like and their job about shutting down the religious system and so forth. And this witness is true. Wherefore, rebuke them sharply. The people back up in verse 10, 11, and 12, the unruly and vain talkers in verse 10, and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision. And when he says circumcision there, he's not talking about the little flock and the believing remnant. He's talking about the religious zealots of Israel and the Jews that were chasing him around town and were after, because they are the circumcision. But he's talking specifically, if you look over in chapter 3 and verse number 9, but avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and strivings about the what? The law. What are the circumcision like to do? Argue about the law. He says, avoid that mess. So what are you to do, verse 11? Whose mouths must be stopped? who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. You get over there and you go back into the Old Testament. You go back into the Old Testament. You go back into Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And what do they got? They got a widow's house. So subverting the whole house, a widow's house comes in, and the Pharisee says, "Hey, high pay, high mass; low pay, low mass; no pay, no mass." I'll pray, and he gobbles up her whole house, her whole inheritance money. He takes. That's the filthy lucre there. He's talking about the religious system. What are you to do with the religious system? You're to rebuke it sharply. You're to knock it off. You're not to be a part of it. By the way, and when they subvert, you know what a submarine is? Subvert, take it and spin it over. So he's talking here about the religious system. And he's talking about the people that begin to leave the sound doctrine and they turn to religion. Notice verse 14. Not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth. Come over, if you will, to 1 Timothy chapter 4. And on your way, get Colossians 2. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 22. Well, verse 20. Colossians 2:20, and get 1 Timothy 4. Colossians 2:20, wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are ye subject to ordinances? Now notice the parenthesis, touch not, taste not, handle not. There's your three monkeys, right? Okay. Which all are to the perish with the using, after the commandments and doctrines of men. There's the system that he's talking about rebuking. 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. So the question gets to the issue of then of it's important not to depart from the sound doctrine. Stay in the sound, stay sound in the faith. Now notice 1 Timothy 4 and verse 1, 2, and 3. 1 Timothy 4, verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. Now just pause here for just a second. The faith. Sound in the faith. The faith there is not your faith in the Word of God or in your faith. The faith there is the set of doctrine that's been committed to the trust of the Apostle Paul. Sometimes you'll read Paul and he'll say, they perceived, we were talking about it in the middle in the question, they perceived the grace that was given to me. When they say perceive the grace, that isn't the fact that Paul had grace. It's the message, the content of the information. So when he says here that they're going to depart from the faith, it isn't that they quit believing in God or God of the Bible. It's that they quit following the information given to the Apostle Paul, okay? What are they going to do? They're going to give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature, when they talk there about abstaining from meats, you can't have the now we're back underneath the regulations of the dietary laws. See? Now we're back over here and the traditions of men, and you got to only eat fish on Friday. You know, I was looking at the little piglets on Facebook that we've got out, you know, and you can't have one of them suckers, you know? You can't have that ham, unless it's kosher, I guess, but he wouldn't have kosherized a ham, would he? No, okay. I wake you guys up. It's only Sunday morning, okay? All right? I knew I'd get a response from Joel. Okay? But notice something here. Notice Paul's warning. What's going to happen? In the latter days, what's going to happen? Some shall depart from the faith. There will come a day when people will leave the sound doctrine. So then the questions get to be, how do they leave the faith? How do they leave the sound doctrine? And how then do you not leave the sound doctrine? How do you maintain yourself in the sound and being sound in the faith? Well, when they leave, come back to Titus 1, where we were at just a minute ago. When they leave sound doctrine, they're going to do Titus 1, verse 11. Whose house must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. They're going to, when you leave the sound doctrine, when you depart from Paul, you're going to do that verse right there most of the time. Or you're going to be as Demas in chapter 4 of 2 Timothy, where you forsake Paul loving the world. But what did you go for? You went for the filthy lucre, didn't you? You went for the paycheck. So then the question gets, again, how do they leave the sound doctrine? How are they no longer, when Paul says they're rebuked them sharply that they may be sound in the faith? Well, come over to 2 Timothy chapter number 1. The first area in leaving the faith, leaving the soundness, leaving sound doctrine, chapter 1, verse 15, verse 13 of 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy 1, verse 13. The first step is that they're going to leave the Apostle Paul. They're going to leave the distinctive message and ministry given to him by the risen, ascended, and seated far above heavenly places, Lord Jesus Christ. They're going to remove themselves from Paul. 2 Timothy 1, verse 13. Hold fast the form of sound words, which thou hast heard of me in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing, those sound words, the message that we got from Paul, that good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. This thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me, of whom is Phygelus and Hermogenes. Now the interesting thing is that they leave Paul. They don't leave the Scripture. They leave Paul. They're going to come down in chapter 2. Look over in chapter 2 of 2 Timothy. Chapter 2, verse number 14. Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. When they leave sound doctrine, Titus 1:11, what are they going to do? They're going to subvert whole houses. They're going to turn it all upside down. Paul's warning is, first, how they leave, the steps in them leaving the sound doctrine, is that they're going to leave me, but they don't leave Scripture. Look at these guys. Verse 15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness, and their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past, and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, they didn't leave Scripture. Who did they leave? They left Paul, didn't they? They're still gonna, in chapter 1 of 1 Timothy, he says they desire to be teachers of the law. They're still in the book. They're still scriptural. They just have left Paul. They've moved away. They're subverting whole houses. I'll show you the illustration. Prime. Galatians chapter 1. Look at Galatians chapter 1. So the first step in leaving the soundness in the faith and the sound doctrine is to begin to remove yourself from the Apostle Paul. And you can do that very authoritatively and go right back to the law, and we're under the commandments. Or you can do it very subtly. And you can do it in just little increments, where eventually you begin to remove him completely. Look at Galatians 1, look at verse 6. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ into another gospel. Who called them into the grace of Christ? So soon removed from him. That's Paul, isn't it? And the message given to Paul. Notice how it's so soon. The Galatians are just getting started and they're already being removed from the message. And it's a subtle thing, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. And then it's just a subtle thing. You're in Galatians, come to 2 Corinthians chapter number 11. 2 Corinthians 11. This is a very subtle thing. This doesn't have to be a dramatic thing. It could be, well, you know what? We used to do it this way. Now let's go do it this way. See? And that little shift begins to go back to someone, to a passage that doesn't really even belong. It doesn't belong to you and I. Look at 2 Corinthians 11. Look at verse 4. He just talked to them about the simplicity that's in Christ. For if he, and the he there is a man, Paul never names this guy. And he never names him probably on purpose, but he does talk about his tactics. And here he's a man, and okay? He starts back up in chapter 10, verse 7, where he says there, do ye look on things after the outward appearance? If any man trust to himself that he is Christ. See that? If any man, there's a man, there's a guy that follows Paul with the purpose of disrupting his ministry at every turn. Then, by the way, he's going to get a group. If you look in 10:10, for his letters say, they are weighty and powerful. And this guy comes along and he stirs up the pot. Then he gets a group of supporters. So now we got us a group in the church that said, the local church there at Corinth that says, well, we're not going to follow Paul, we're going to follow this guy. Because we know Paul can't be right. See? So Paul describes the guy in verse 4 of chapter 11. For if he, that, and what he's describing here is what the man's preaching. If he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye have received another spirit which ye have not received, or another gospel which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. Notice what the man's preaching. Another Jesus, another spirit, and another gospel. Doesn't that sound a little bit like Galatians 1, verse 6, 7, 8, and 9? If anyone, you've been removed from, come back there to Galatians 1. Verse 6, I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ, unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which ye have preached unto you, let him be accursed. And I say, as we have said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. Boy, he says it twice, so it's got to be important, doesn't it? By the way, the accursed there, you go over to chapter 5 and verse 12, is identified for you and defined for you as being cut off. Okay, it's not cursed, damned, going to hell. It's about being cut off, cut away. So the first tactic, the first step in leaving the sound doctrine is leaving the Apostle Paul. And it can be a very subtle thing. If I was to look at you today and say, come back over to 2 Timothy 2, and I was to say that your offering, the offering back there, and so forth, and was to bring in the Levitical tithing system into here, and that when God said that, let every man give as a cheerful giver, and that cheerful really in the Greek and the Hebrew means do it or else. What did I just do to you? We just made a little shift, didn't we? Not a big one, just a little one. That was a joke. Come on, people. Okay? See? And it could just be a little, something simple and small as giving. Something simple and little as pointing out the issues of the food you're eating and you should not be eating. We don't think of those as big deals, but they are when you begin to drift away from the doctrine. The second stepping and leaving is 2 Timothy 2, verse 15 to 18. We read it just a minute ago, and that's the issue of erring concerning the truth, because what did they do? They put verse 18, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. There's that shipwreck. There's that subverting the whole houses. But what are they failing to do? They're failing to rightly divide the word, aren't they? They've left Paul, but they didn't leave the Scripture, but now they're using the Scripture, but just not in a dispensational manner. They're moving away from things. They're coming along and they have defined the resurrection. Actually, what they've done here is they've redefined what the resurrection for the body is. They've moved it on God's timeline. They said, you missed it. So now we're over here really in the pre-days of the kingdom. Because we know the tribulation only lasts how long? 7 years? We know that. So 7 years was a long time ago for some of us, all right? For some of you, it hadn't even started. But yet, we're over here now in these pre-dawn days of the coming blessing of the kingdom. So let's all pray, bow our heads and pray, and let's pray in the kingdom. We're going to have a box out front for canned food to send to Israel, because if we bless Israel, then we'll get the blessing. See how subtle that was? How nice sounding that is? Well, let's pray for peace in Israel. Folks, peace in Israel only going to happen one time, and that's when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back as king. You see, they've left Paul. They're leaving right division. 2 Timothy 3. Here's the third step. Going a little quicker here now. 2 Timothy 3, verse number 8. Verse 7, talking about these guys. Verse 5, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. For of this sort, the sort that they're religious, they have a form, they look good, they're sounding good, but they don't have the message. They don't have the power. They don't have that message, that power, that doctrine according to godliness in them. That sort, what do? They creep into houses. If you're creeping into a house, you're doing something not legal, not right. You know, I was out the other night early or late, depending on how you read, 1 o'clock, and I was talking to the sheriff deputy. We had the road closed, and we're working down around the bridges on Canyon Lake and getting all that paved in and set up for the last top coat and stuff. And I was talking to one of the sheriff's deputy, and I asked him, I said, what happens if you see a guy creeping into the backyard of a house? He goes, nothing good's going to happen. Creeping isn't something you good, is it? The law looks at it as, you know, not right. These guys are doing what? What are they doing? They're doing something that's not right. They're creeping into houses, and they lead captive. That's a law term, captive. I'll let the mightier, aren't they captive? And lead captive silly women laden with sins, laden, the heavy burden. By the way, the silly women there, it's an interesting thing about that. That is, silliness is an emotion, laughter. It's women, and it's really going to end up being people who are going based off of emotion rather than sound doctrine. They're looking at the emotion of it. They're captive and they're laden with sin. Didn't Romans 6 say your sins have been taken away from you? They're dead to you. They're not on you anymore. He's covered. Forgiveness of sins is all covered. You've been set free. You stand fast in the liberty. And what are they doing here? We're back under captive. We're back under the ladenness. What are they doing? They're reverting back to. But I want you to notice something in verse 8. By the way, they're led away with divers lust. Multiple, different kinds of lust. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Verse 7 we like to use a lot, but the context is that issue in verse 6. People being led by their emotions. being led away into things, into different types of lust, thinking it's all okay because I can go down here and pray a prayer and jump in the confessional and do this or do that and, you know, we'll be okay. I can walk the aisle and shake the preacher's hand. I can do something. When Paul's gospel says what? You don't have to do anything, man. It's all done for you. You've been forgiven. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Here it is. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. When you leave Paul, and when you leave Right Division, you become men of corrupt minds. That's where you go. Reprobate concerning the truth. Now, I like that word reprobate because he's talking about someone that is lost to the sin that they're in, lost to virtue. They're lost to it. It's gone. They're completely. It's a lack of character. They're just gone to it. And because of the lack of character that's coming in these last days, in verse 1 down through verse 7 there, they're lost to the virtue of truth. Reprobate concerning the truth. They're in a condition that has them out there outproducing you. Jannes and Jambres to Moses, 2-1. They're outproducing. Boy, Rick, God's not blessing your ministry down there. You only got like 30 people here this morning. Man, what's going on? We had 3,000 just in Sunday school. We got another 5 coming for church. 8,000. Boy, God's blessing us. What's he doing to you over there? How you doing? Oh, I'm doing fantastic, man. I got people who are wanting to study. Well, I got that. Yeah, no, you don't. Sorry, Charlie. I know your routine. But what does it look like? It looks like we're being outdone, and yet, man, we try to find the truth. You can't find it. They're outproducing. They're looking at the outward performance, and yet they're lost to the truth. And the fourth and final in chapter 4, verse 3 and 4, this is where they end up. The last step. Because they've left Paul, they're out here, they've abandoned their word, the word of God. They've abandoned the word of God, rightly divided. Take it the next step. They're going based on now a lack of concern for the truth. They've been lost to virtue and to character. So what do they say in verse 3? Paul says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Boy, you show up and try to talk to them and what they shut you down so fast. You haven't even got the word hello out of your mouth and they've already shut you down because they know what's coming. Now watch. But after their own lust, there's that condition of the reprobate concerning the faith. Shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears? They shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Look at that. They begin to use personal experience now to validate the truth. They have the They want to feel good when I leave. They want to have the hour of what they call praise and worship and the 20-minute devotional ditty. Then they go out feeling really good. Why? How'd they get there? How did they depart from? Who'd they leave? They left the Word of God rightly divided. They left Paul. They've move themselves into an arena of feeling good. Now, don't get me wrong, I want you to feel good, okay? But let's do it with the right foundation. They've become, Ephesians 4, where he says they become tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. That's where they've come. So how do people leave? They're the four steps. Paul tells Titus, rebuke them sharply, that they would be sound in the faith. How do they leave the soundness that's in the faith? How do they leave that? There they are, the four chapters. You come study with us in 2 Timothy in Sunday school hour. We're going to dig into them as we get to them. My point is that's how they go. The question then is, how then do you stay away from all that? Well, look back at 1 Timothy. I'm sorry, 2 Timothy 1. So if you're not going to, so how do you keep yourself safe? How do you stay sound in the faith? Well, first of all, don't leave Paul. Look at 2 Timothy 1 verse 8. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partakers of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Don't be ashamed of who? Of Paul. When somebody says, who's your apostle? And you say the apostle of the Gentiles, the apostle Paul, say it proudly. He's your apostle, folks. Don't cower back from it. Look over at chapter 2 of 2 Timothy, verse 2. Paul talking to Timothy, and the things that thou hast heard of me, Paul, among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Hold the pattern, Timothy. Don't leave the pattern. Hold the pattern. The pattern is from the Father, God the Son, to me, to you, to others, and the downline begins. Don't leave. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul says, I'm the master builder. I have laid the foundation. Don't leave the master builder. Don't leave the foundation. That means, you're in 2 Timothy 2, that means in everything. We like to pick and choose sometimes where we're going to stay with Paul and depart from Paul. There's the subtleness. That means completely, not in just the things that we like or don't like. 2 Timothy 2, verse 7, Paul says, consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding and what? All things. We looked at that a couple weeks ago with Paul says he'll give you understanding in all things. Peter says, I don't have understanding in all things. Some things over there hard to understand. You be careful. Paul says, I give it understanding in everything, man. There's nothing. But you know what happens? Paul tells you and I how to live our life. And we'll bow up. I don't want that. I don't want to do that. You don't have a choice. Because the moment you say, you know what, I don't want to, Paul tells you, provide things honest before all men. Now, what would that tell you to do? To be honest. But the first time we're going to tell a little lie or a little shade of the truth, because it makes us look good, you've left Paul. It's that simple little thing. Paul says, get a job. Be responsible. Provide. If you're single, provide for yourself. Get on with the ball. Let's go. If you're married, you got a family, you got to provide for your wife. If you got children, you provide. But you got to get a job. But what does society say? You don't have to get a job. We'll take care of you. We got this program, that program. And what have you done? You say, yeah, I'm on it, man. I'm good. Now, I'm not saying if you need the help, get the help. But believe me, okay? I'm not saying don't get the help. But have a what? Have a job. Oh, you don't have to, man. We got this over here. We got this program. We'll get you set up. Wait a second. That little step. Back in a couple years ago, when New Orleans was hit by the floodwaters off of Katrina, Katrina did not hit New Orleans. Katrina hit over there on the Alabama-Mississippi border. It took out my uncle's house. He was in the eye of that storm. What hit New Orleans was the floodwaters and the dike system breaking down in New Orleans, okay? But in New Orleans, when all that happened, after the fact, after they come back and do all their analysis and their study and everything, and they try to keep the politics out of it, which you can't, and they find out that there's generations of welfare recipients in certain families that started by the simple, oh, there's a program, I'll just do that. And then what happened? It was learned by everybody else. That's nothing major. That's nothing profoundly doctrinal, but yes, it is, because what did Paul tell you to do? Get a job. See that? Something little. Now what have you done? You've left Paul. Now you're over here in an environment that you shouldn't even been in to begin with. I use just a simple little, don't leave Paul. Don't leave regardless of what the situation is. What does Paul say about it? 2 Timothy 2, the second point, verse 15, about the issue of right division, rightly dividing the word. Don't study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. Notice, and their word will eat as doth a canker. Verse 18, who concerning the truth have erred, saying the resurrection is past. They redefine that terminology, that term resurrection. They make it into something that it's not. Don't do that. Back up at the end of verse 14, that they strive not about words to no profit. Man, strive about words that have profit in them. Don't redefine the terms. Don't use the word of God. The word of God doesn't need you to help it to explain itself. It'll take care of itself. You just need to believe it. These guys weren't doing that. Don't do that. You follow that? 2 Timothy 3, here's the third point. Second Timothy 3, have some character. These guys are reprobate. They're men of corrupt minds. They're men of no character. Have some character. But I want you to notice something in verse 10, what Paul says to him. But thou, so all that information in 1 to 9, but thou hast fully known my doctrine. Verse 13, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, be deceiving and being deceived. Now watch verse 14. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Who did we learn them from? Verse 10, from Paul. Paul had high character. These guys don't. Have some character. Don't change the message. Don't change the doctrine to fit what you want it to say or what you need it to do. It says what it says. Stand there. And then in 2 Timothy 4, verse number 2, the fourth one, you don't need your emotions. You don't need your experiences to validate the truth. You just simply need to do what verse number 2 says. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. You know what you need to do? Preach the word. Now, I know he's talking to Timothy, and I know he's talking to the pastors, but he's also talking to you and I as members of the body of Christ, as his ambassadors. What are we to be doing? Preach the word. Be instant in season. In the season when it's popular to preach the word. There was a day in this country when it was popular to preach the word. There was a day in this country when even the heathen understood more about the Bible than some of the Christians did going to church. Out of season, when it's not good to preach the word, as we're coming into that day in our country, where you can't just stand on the corner anymore, too much more, and preach the word. What are we to do? Preach the word. You just need to keep the basics. So when you come back to Titus chapter 1, and he says in verse 13, this witness is true. Talking about the Grecians being the slow bellies and so forth. Wherefore, rebuke them sharply that they may be sound in the faith. Come back. Just one more thing. Come back to 2 Timothy 3. I'm sorry. You see, folks, you need to come to an understanding of what the sound doctrine is all about. The fact that it's the doctrine that is according to godliness. It's the information given to us by the Apostle Paul that's going to then lay out all the way through our life. You come to understand that, and then you don't leave it. You stand in it. You keep it, as he told Timothy to do. Now look, if you will, one verse and we'll be done. 2 Timothy 3, verse 16 and 17. When he looks at Titus there and he says, rebuke him. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. You see those four items there? The items that make up instruction in righteousness, doctrine, reproof, and correction. The scripture is designed to do that to you. Now watch verse 17. That, the reason that scripture has been set up to give you the doctrine, to then reprove you based on the doctrine, to correct you based on the doctrine, to ultimately end with that instruction in righteousness, is that the man of God may be perfect. Now, what is perfect? Thoroughly furnished unto all good works. The definition of perfect is the end of the verse. The issue here is the soundness in your life, the sound doctrine, being sound in the faith, not leaving Paul, not leaving the word rightly divided, not going based off of your experience, not trying to make the book say something that it's not saying. The scripture is going to come along and keep you on tote, keep you online, as long as you do 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 13. I know I said one verse, but there's never just one verse. 1 Thessalonians 2, 13. All of this, I was thinking, we got 20 years coming up in August of Southwest Bible Fellowship. 1998, we started in our living room. 1999, the plaque says 99 to 09 is 10 years. That's our incorporated dates. But we started in my living room in 98. And it was just because some folks said, hey, we don't want to go here. We don't want to go there. We want to come to you. And I'm like, who's me? I'm nobody's. Because if you listen to some of the early days, which you will never get to listen to them because they're all destroyed, you would go, who in the world would sit there and listen to that guy? Okay? But we did what we did, and keep toeing the line and keep pushing the mark, okay? All of that is for naught if you don't do what this verse tells you to do. 1 Thessalonians 2:13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. You don't believe it? You're coming to church because mom and dad made you come. You're coming to church because you grew up coming to church. You're coming to church because that's just something you like to do on Sunday mornings. If you're not believing that what that word says, you know what it will? It will never go to work in your life. It's when you believe it. When you believe it, that soundness then comes up. So then when you do have issues that come up in life, you've got the answer. when you do have issues, you can say, you know what? I bet you dollars to donuts that Paul has something to say about that. I just got to go find it. Better yet, I'll call Rick and he'll tell me where it's at. But I got to go find it. I got to get in there and study it out. I got to look at it. I got to think about this. And when you begin to understand that and you begin to do that, you know what happens in life? Things just kind of calm right down. The turmoil doesn't, don't get me wrong. But you just kind of calm down. You just kind of have a little peace in you. It makes you look like an oddball, I know. But so what? You're an oddball anyway. Paul says, look at us, not many mighty, not many noble, not many wise, not many rich. But you know what happens is just there's some peace there. There's some tranquility. And that's called the peace of God. And you have that. But you have it because you have the soundness in your life. We were looking last hour at Paul. Paul says, I have a pure conscience. I have a good conscience. He had an integrity of the heart. Because when he saw truth, he believed it. And he did what truth said to do. I would hope you'd think about that as well. Now, next week, we're going to talk about sound speech. That's another sound area. Good speech, concrete speech. Then after that, we're going to talk about that fleeting thing called soundness of mind. Talk about that. You know, the lady says, I go put something in a secure place, and I forgot where the secure place was. That's not what we're talking about, okay? We're talking about something else. But having the soundness, having the ability to say in the life, go, you know what? I'm not going to leave Paul. I'm going to stay right here. I'm going to stay right where I belong, and I'll let that word tell me what's going on. And it'll effectually, I love that, effect. It'll cause something to happen in my life. Effectually worketh in you that believe. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the morning, Lord. We thank you for your word. We thank you for everything that we have in your Son. We thank you for the peace that we have with you and in you. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, we'll see.